This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, the Pleasantville Clinic and E.J. McKeever Clinic, Knoxville Chamber of Commerce, Marion County Auto Body, Knoxville Raceway, and the Marion County Fair Association. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Capstone Behavioral Health, Don's Heating and Cooling, Pierschbacher Funeral Home, Hewitt Service Center in Monroe, Anytime Fitness, and McCall Monument. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, our first responders work to keep us safe. Where we run from danger, they run towards it. How does a fire chief look at his community in terms of fire response? What do they need to know about the buildings in town? And how can a good fire department lower our insurance premiums? In the 10th part of a special 10-part in-depth series on our first responders, let's go in-depth with Nick Bonstell, new fire chief in Knoxville. So, Nick, welcome to Knoxville.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You've been here, what, a week or what?
We have been here since Friday, so tomorrow will be 1 week, yeah.
And you start Monday.
Start Monday.
Well, are you excited?
I'm extremely excited. I actually, we spent this week kind of doing some work around the house, getting things unpacked. But I got a chance to finally meet everyone yesterday. Last night was the fire department's business meeting. I had a chance to introduce myself there and get to know everybody, and very excited for Monday. They have a great group of people.
Well, and how was the reception last night? A new fire chief, there has to be people thinking, this guy's going to be great. We don't know anything about this guy. Who's this new guy? People going to be thinking that?
Oh, absolutely. I think any time you get a new person, mm-hmm. not even necessarily a leader, but just somebody in an organization that's new, there's a little apprehension of, you know, who is this person? What do they stand for? How are they going to add to our department or what we're trying to do here? So I think that's just human nature to, at first it's going to take a while to kind of warm up and get to know everybody. And the funny thing is, yeah, you may be appointed the fire chief or you may, have that title. But what really counts is actually getting everyone to buy into the whole fact of moving the department forward and understanding that you are there for good. So getting the job is one thing. Getting and, earning the respect of the people that we work with is a completely different thing. So that's going to be the biggest challenge here in the next few months, but I definitely hope to prove myself and earn the respect of the people who we work with and also the community members.
Well, I bet in the department itself, I bet it happens probably faster than it does in regular society, because pretty soon here you're going to be thrown into a situation and probably multiple situations, high intensity, lots happening, and in those kinds of moments, those are when bonding occurs, you learn about each other, and friendships and relationships are, I'm guessing, built more rapidly than just in our normal, tranquil lives.
I think that's probably the case in any emergency service, not necessarily just the fire department, but I'm sure the police officers go through the same thing. You meet this new person, you may figure out their personality pretty quickly, but you won't build that level of trust with them until an emergency situation happens and see how they react to that situation. So it's kind of funny. One thing I've always said is, we need a fire. Because when we have that first incident, when we have, like you said, a low-frequency, high-intensity incident, that's when people really understand, who a person is and how they're going to react to those situations. And you can talk about how you're going to react in those situations and how you're going to respond, but it isn't until the actual incident happens that you really get a feel for the person.
And I'm just going to guess again or assert whatever you want to call it, but I guess there's going to be some kinks at first.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't take a group of people who have worked together for 15 years, interject one person into it, and expect it to function exactly the way it did before. Each individual, no matter if it's a firefighter or a fire chief, responds and acts a little differently. In the city where I come from, you have crews that have been together for 20 years. Those crews know, they don't have to talk when they go out the door. They know exactly what the other person is going to do in most situations. So in the younger crews, when you have people who have only been together for a year or so, there's a lot more talk that goes on. There's a lot more training that goes on together. And that's what we're going to have to do, in the short period of time, is obviously, work through those situations the best we can and figure out exactly how we're all going to make this work. Down the road, obviously, some standard operating guidelines will help that process out. Some training will help that out. Even training with your mutual aid departments around will hopefully all smooth that whole process out. Now, there's never a perfect emergency incident. There's never a textbook way to do every single thing. You'll never have the same call twice. So each incident will present its own circumstances, and it's how we really respond to those circumstances that makes us a better department.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by Hubes Garage, Vermeer Corporation, Iowa State Savings Bank, Pella Roll Screen Foundation, Dan's Plumbing and Heating in Knoxville, and the Knoxville Police Department and Knoxville Fire and Rescue. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com and the radio audio media player and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pleasantville Schools, Knoxville Regional Livestock Market, Marion County Public Health Department, Morris Roofing, Norm Rosendahl Tiling and Septic, and the Knoxville Area Anesthesia Services with Steve Eck.
I continued my conversation with Nick Bonstell, new fire chief in Knoxville. Now, any major changes happening in the department that you plan now?
You know, one thing that I've always noticed is, and I've been through different fire chiefs, I've been through different lieutenants and different captains, the people who come in with an agenda and just start changing things, it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because, people just by nature are a little resistant to change. So what needs to happen is we need to get together as a department and figure out the future of what the Knoxville Rescue and Fire Department will be. So right overnight, no, there's not going to be any huge impactful changes. On the horizon, obviously, there has to be things that we're shooting for. One of them is obviously an ISO review. It's been a while since the Insurance Service Office has visited the city of Knoxville, and we'd like to be prepared for that. So when that comes in a couple of years, we can maybe have a lower score and actually help the businesses out by saving some money on insurance costs.
Could you explain that to us?
When you have an ISO rating for a community, the ISO rating is a graded score from 1 to 10, 10 being basically the least fire protection, one being the most fire protection. And what this organization does is it comes into town and it reviews basically how the fire department responds, the equipment that the fire department has. There's even a huge portion of water supply. So is the community hydranted, the spacing of the hydrants, the flow of the hydrants, what's their reserve water supply? And what they do is they calculate all these things out and give you a rating. And that rating impacts what businesses and residences pay for fire protection for their homes. So when you go to purchase insurance on your home or purchase insurance on a business, the rating of your community is exactly the price you pay. So if you are setting up a huge business, a multi-million dollar business, in a community that has an ISO rating of 10, you're going to pay a lot more money in insurance than if you would set it up in a community that has an ISO rating of 1. Now, there's certain things that we have to do to get those scores. Right now, the city of Knoxville is a 6, a high 6. And I truly believe that with some minor changes, with some documentation of things that we are currently doing, you know, in a couple of years, I'd really like to get that score down to about a 4. And I think it's feasible. There might be a couple pieces of equipment that we need to do that, but I do think it's something that is in our grasp and reach to do. So that's what ISO does, and they actually they come usually about every 10 years, unless requested by the fire chief, then they make a visit.
You thinking about requesting that? You want to gear up first?
We want to, and that's the biggest thing, is one thing that I do want to definitely project is planning. Not only do we need to plan for the short term, but we need to plan for the long term also. So these things don't just come up and surprise us. We need to be ready for that to happen. So along with that ISO visit, there's probably about 2 years of planning that go into being effective to be able to lower your score. So there are things over the next 2 years that we will have to do so when they do show up in 2 years, you know, our score is lowered. So that's a big thing that we'll be working on as a department together.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by Pleasantville State Bank, Griffin Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, Raymaker Screen Printing, Two Rivers Cooperative, Verduft Agency, Central Cellular, and the Pella Walmart. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Dave's Pro Auto, Kooning Plumbing and Heating, Boats Home Furnishings, Dowie Pest Control, Van Haften Racing and Otley, and Pella Lock and Key. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation with Nick Bonstell, new fire chief in Knoxville. Well, the people in the fire department, the people in City Hall, they're going to get to know you pretty quick. How about the rest of the public?
Yeah, and you know, the very first thing that I said last night at the meeting was I have an open door. And it's not only to the people who work for the fire department, but it's also to the citizens that allow us to be the organization we are here in the city. So I've always stated that, you know, and I'm going to do some other stuff too with social media and, you know, just keeping the lines of communication open, because if I don't know about a problem, if I don't know about a situation out in the community, I have no way of impacting a positive change. So I need to keep the lines of communication open with the people who work in the department, but also the community members here. Now, along with that, this next year is going to be pretty exciting for the Knoxville Rescue and Fire Department, because we actually will be outreaching to the community probably more than we ever have. Along with that planning piece, we're going to definitely want the community's input in a lot of the essential functions of how we plan for the future. It might be a community survey on fire operations or rescue operations. You know, we might even have community town halls explaining the services we offer and why we offer those services. So in the very near future, the community is going to have a lot of input into our services, and we welcome as much input as possible.
Now, as you drive around Knoxville, you know, I drive around Knoxville every day, and I see, I have a world I see. As you drive around Knoxville, you see a different world than I do. What are you seeing? What are you thinking as you're going around with respect to your job?
Sure. Well, the first thing with respect to fire suppression activities and EMS response activities, the first thing you do is try to see what the zones are in the city. So when I'm looking at a community, I see that the industrial section is, you know, on the south side, on the northeast side of the city. I know, you know, that we have a couple very large businesses here in the city that are impactful for the city. I see a downtown business district on the square here and some outlying business. I see about four different districts of residential housing. Obviously, on the northwest side, you know, on the south-north side of the city. And then we also do have some manufactured home places here in the city, too. So really, as a fire department, when you're looking at what a community is made of, you're looking at the construction of the community. The number one thing when fighting a fire that you have to be mindful of is the construction of the building. There's nothing more that impacts that more than the construction of the building. The way you fight a fire in one of these square buildings that were built in 1920 is completely different if you're fighting a brand new house, as you saw, you know, a couple months ago out there. They go up a lot faster. So the construction is of high priority to understand and know exactly what these buildings are made of. So that's what I look for when I go through the community, basically, is the type of zones and the construction of the buildings.
And so you're going to learn, let's just say, what, let's talk about, oh, downtown, just as an example. You're going to learn which buildings are made out of wood and which ones have cement blocks or concrete or brick. Or you're going to know all that?
Absolutely. And what we do is we're actually going to start pre-planning, and those plans will allow us to basically know the construction types of those buildings before we ever get dispatched to a fire there, and that will help us ahead of give us a little step ahead of the fire. When you start looking at construction types in the fire service, there's different types. So, and this is nationwide. It's not just here in Iowa or here in Michigan. Type 1 fire-resistive building is built the exact same way basically on the East Coast and is on the West Coast. I haven't seen a whole lot of Type 4 heavy timber buildings here in town, but there could be some. And we'll find that out when we go through. And the biggest thing to find that out isn't necessarily walking around the outside of the building. It's getting on the inside and finding out what exactly the foundation is made of in the building.
Well, you can't possibly do that with every building in town. And then if you did, you'd forget it.
Well, and that's why we talk about long-range planning. We may not be able to do every single building this year, but in the long term, absolutely. And the way we'll actually start out with that is by hazards. So obviously, if you have a dilapidated commercial building that has a lot of storage contents in it and maybe has been condemned, that's actually a very important building for us to pre-plan, because the chance of that having a fire event is a lot higher than a building that is well taken care of, has a sprinkler system, has smoke alarms, is monitored. Those are actually low-risk buildings because they have some of those safety devices built into them. And we learned that all through pre-planning. So, yeah, long-term, we would like to get every building done, but obviously, in the short-term, getting the high-hazard buildings done initially are most important.
Well, and some buildings, I would guess, are fairly redundant with other ones, like in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is you can have two of the same construction types side-by-side, but their contents make a big difference. Because, for instance, if you have, let's say, pole buildings. You have two pole buildings that are the exact same size. One is a storage for, you know, something very low impact, like maybe there's some automobiles or something stored inside. The other one could be packed full of polystyrene foam, which is going to create a lot more toxicity than what those two cars are going to be. So from the outside, plan-wise, they look like the same building, but obviously their contents are different. So no two buildings really are alike.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by Laley USA, Dr. Kurt Vanderplu, Precision Pulley and Idler, McGriff's of New Sharon, Golf Cars of Iowa, Enfeld Meat Market, Pella Engraving, Pella Regional Health Center, Van Haften Plumbing and Heating, and U.S. Bank. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player and catch up on In-Depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Windmill Mall Antiques, Vandenberg's, Central Cellular in Pella, Knoxville, and Sully, Franklin Street Clothing, Meniga Pest Control, Cabinet Design of Pella, West End Auto, and Community First Credit Union.
I continued my conversation with Nick Bonstell, new fire chief in Knoxville.
And so if you knock on somebody's door and ask them about a building, it's because you're interested in saving their property. You're just not being nosy.
Oh, you know what? And it's not only just in saving their property. I had a talk yesterday with a gentleman who's a business owner on the square here, and one thing that we talked about was how fire impacts business operations. So it's not the fact that the fire department, you know, has this fire event, puts the fire out, and, you know, that's the last thing people really know about it is we had this fire and the fire's out. What people don't see is the 6 months that that family is now, you know, living probably very uneasy because their business operations have been suspended for 6 months while they either move to a different place or rebuild the building that's there. So business fires for me are a very big thing because I can actually see the impact it has on the people working in that business. So we not only try to save the buildings in the community, but we also try to save the business that is currently working here in the community too. So as we get out there and start introducing ourselves to the community and the business members, it's definitely not us being nosy. It's us trying to, you know, help them along, and keeping their business open, but also it's a safety aspect for our members responding to understand and know what we're going up against before we go up against it.
Now, this probably isn't a fair question to ask, but I'll just preface it by saying when the VA was in operation, they had their own fire department, and people are working hard to try to get new occupancy in those buildings. And it went from being an entity that needed its own fire department to now the city's having to respond. But then when, let's just hope that things work out and every building in there is occupied, how's that going to impact the department?
That will actually, you know, you start looking at all those buildings. First of all, the one thing that the federal government does have going for it, and they do very well, is fire protection in their facilities, especially on VA campuses. So you start looking at those buildings, and those are types of buildings that are not readily a fire hazard per se. They're usually block construction. Maybe they do have some sort of wood frame inside of them, but it's usually everything's drywalled. The major campuses are usually sprinkled. They usually have some sort of monitoring device for their fire alarm systems. So when you start looking at how big of a hazard those buildings are, they're not necessarily very high on that list. Now, you start occupying them with thousands of people, now you've completely changed the aspect from being a building that was standing there alone to thousands of lives that are now in this building. So once again, with the contents, that's the number one content that we try to save from a building is obviously human life. So if you have thousands of people in buildings, all of a sudden, those become very high impacts on us, especially doing pre-planning. That's why when you look at like the fire prevention models and fire codes and fire inspecting, places of assembly are always right up there because those are where the most people congregate. And that's why most codes are driven towards those places. Basically to save the lives of the people in the community. So once they start occupying those business or those buildings out there on the VA campus, us as a fire department and our operations definitely have a planning aspect that goes along with that.
Where do you see the department 5 years from now, the department and you?
I see the Knoxville Rescue and Fire Department actually being probably more active than what they are now. They are to a point now where they are so active that basically the staffing they have is having a hard time keeping up with the calls that they are responding to. Now, we have opportunity here probably down the road to be busier. As we get busier, we need to look at our staffing and see how we can respond to those incidents. So planning-wise, as we look down the road and say, you know, here's why we think we'll be busier, here's some things to look at. Short term, we need to start building the foundation before we get to that point. So when all of a sudden we switch from running 1,300 calls a year to, you know, upwards of 1,800 calls, we already need to have that system in place to be able to do that. And that's all part of planning. And that's all part of getting the community involvement aspect into it of, you know, this isn't just our department. The reason that we're here is because the taxpayers of the community support the Knoxville Rescue and Fire Department and allow us to do our job. So it's up to us to educate the public and show them exactly what services we offer, why we offer them in the community, and what they're paying for. And that will definitely open the picture of, you know, down the road when we start obviously looking at getting busier, why we need the resources we need to be able to accomplish that task. In 5 years, I definitely see myself here in the community, still with the Knoxville Rescue and Fire Department, and seeing a lot of these changes come to fruition. So I'm very excited. I think there's going to be a lot of good opportunities here in the next 5 years, and I think the sky's the limit for what we can actually do in the next 5 years.
Thanks to Nick Bonstell for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.